Those were all true, so if he denies any of that, that's his fault. Love you, brother.
You want to put that on?
If you want to, there's your water for you.
Thank you very much. I see the water. Where's the bread? You did not tell me we were not eating. Then he calls me. I called him yesterday to check on him, see how things are going. He says, "Whew, Jimmy, I thought you were calling me to tell me you weren't coming tomorrow." But he still didn't tell me we were not eating. I'm disappointed. I was really looking forward to some of y'all's cooking, because I've eaten some of it before, and it's really, really good. Y'all know how to cook. But the joy is mine, and he's right. I am a little biased. I'd like to say thank you for letting me stand in the second best church in Carteret County. But it's all God's church. It's the Lord's church, Savior's church. And it's an honor to stand here. And James, you're the one I have to thank for that, because you're responsible for this. They're responsible for out there, but you're responsible for this, and I thank you. This is an honor, and this is a privilege. How do I turn it on?
You have to push the button.
That button?
Oh.
Okay.
It's all right.
Okay.
I'm here for you.
You are.
Yeah.
You are. And to be honest, he's not wrong. I say his and Rebecca's and Elijah's, Addison's, and Zoe's name before my feet ever hits the floor every morning. And I pray for Richard and Tammy and Ernest and Judy as well. So it is an honor and it is a privilege. And your pastor has been a joy, because now I've got somebody on my side. It's me and James against Richard and Ernest. And I finally have somebody on my side, because it's really unfair for them. Before James came along, it was me and the Lord against Richard and Ernest. And no, I thank the world of my brother pastors. My name is Jimmy Mercer. A lot of you might not know me. My wife and I are from Duplin County. I've been a Christian since August 1st, 1974 is when I got saved. And the Lord, from August 1st, 1974, has brought me in so many directions. Then about 15 years ago, our paths with Morehead City crossed, with Brother Mance and Brother Jerry, It was there, and I was getting ready to say it, but I was getting ready to say something smart, and it wouldn't come to me. And the Lord blocked it out, blocked everything out, and I was wanting to say something really smart. But our friendship has grown, like he said, because he's not afraid to meet with you. Some pastors don't like to meet with other pastors. They want to be by themselves. They want to be the mavericks. They want to, but James likes to fellowship. And we like to fellowship, and I like praying with one another. And James is like that, and Rebecca's like that, so I'm thankful. And I don't know why he asked me before Ernest and Richard, but be sure I'll make up something when I see them next time. Before we go any further, let's go to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for the privilege that is ours. Father, thank you for the familiar faces that I know in Morehead City. And thank you, God, for all the visitors, people that might come more regular that I haven't met yet. But Father, we've come for a purpose today, homecoming. We've come to reminisce a little bit, come to break apart your word, and God, perhaps explain it a little bit. And Father, I pray that you'll do for every set of ears and every heart in here that you'll touch their hearts. And Father, when homecoming is over, we can say that was a great day and be thankful for what we've got. And Father, we have so much. We have so much. We have the Son of God in our sanctuaries, in our hearts. Father, we have the peace of God. We are so fortunate to be where we are, and we thank you for that. But just a stone's throw from here, perhaps a yell, a good yell, there are people walking up and down the sidewalks of Morehead City. There's people driving all around that they don't know this, the Prince of Peace like we know him. And Father, they don't have perhaps what we might have. And we're praying, God, that maybe they'll be able to see Jesus before it's everlasting too late. But God, the promises that we've got, help us to remember those things today. Help us to remember why we're here is to celebrate not only our past, but our present, and even to remind us of our future. And we thank you, God, as we long for home. God, we're longing for the promises that we've read about in John. We're longing for the promises that we read about in Revelation. We're longing for all those promises, God, that we will be studying in Philippians. And God, thank you for all that you do. And we ask it humbly in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Church family, I was going to tell you I'm not a long-winded preacher because lunch is waiting for us. That's out the door. So I can preach as long as God tells me to preach, but we do that anyway. We do that anyway. The name of the message is entitled Longing for Home. As I said, 15 years ago, things were different back in Morehead City First Free Will Baptist Church. Because when I come today, I realize that there are people that I got to know that they're not here anymore. They've already gone to where we'll be talking about today. They're already in the portals of glory. And that's a homecoming that I want to be a part of. Amen? I'm ready to go to heaven. The things that I see down in this world and the things that are happening in this world that the Bible tells us will happen, I'm longing for a better place, a more peaceful place. And I hope that you are. Safely home. I am home in heaven, dear ones. Oh, so happy and so bright. This is perfect joy and beauty in this everlasting light. All pain and grief is over. Every restless tossing past. I am now at peace forever, safely home in heaven at last. Did you wonder I so calmly trod the valley of the shade? Oh, but Jesus' love illumined every dark and fearful glade. And he came himself to meet me in that way so hard to tread, and with Jesus' arms to lean on, could I have one doubt or dread? Then you must not grieve so sorely, for I love you dearly still. Try to look beyond earth's shadows. Pray to trust our Father's will. There is work still waiting for you, so you must not idly stand. Do it now while life remaineth. You shall rest in Jesus' land. When the work is all completed, he will gently call you home. Oh, the rapture of that meeting. Oh, the joy to see you come. Unknown author. As I think about homecoming and as I think of the blessings that I've had here at Morehead, and I really look forward to family reunions, and we weren't able to have ours this year. Everybody was afraid to have it. It just makes it sweeter for the next time. Amen? It's a sweet time. One lovely moonlit night, a grandfather and his small granddaughter went for a walk. The stars were magnificent, and his grandfather named individual stars and constellations. The granddaughter exclaimed, "Grandpa, if the bottom side of heaven is this beautiful, just think how wonderful the top side must be." Think about that next time you see a bunch of stars. If you will, turn with me in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, when you get it, say amen. This is mine. This is mine. Everybody got it? That was pretty quick. Amen. Philippians chapter 3, the last two verses. Verse 20. For our conversation is in heaven. If you choose to stand, please stand. That's up to you. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able to subdue all things unto himself. May God add his blessings to the reading and to the hearing, to the preaching and the receiving of his precious word. You may be seated. Thank you. If Paul was to write it and we were to be able to understand it, this is how it would sound in the original Greek. For the citizenship in heaven is, from where also a Savior we await, parentheses, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of humiliation of us, for to be it conformed to the body of the glory of him, according to the working of the ability, parentheses, of him even to subject to himself all things. Sounds a little funny, but when we translate it into English, it sounds more familiar to us in verses 20 and 21. There's no place like home, am I right? There's no place like home. As I said, we're from Duplin County. Our home is 118 Molly Lewis Road right now. We live in the parsonage behind the number one church in the county. We live in the parsonage. And it's nice that when we go, we've been to Israel a time or two. Bobby Marks has been with us to Israel. Anybody else? Nobody else in here has been with us to Israel. Brother Jerry and Sister Pat went with us to Israel. But when on our way back from Israel and we come in down east and go across that bridge, the Smyrna Creek Bridge, and we see that welcome to Davis, there's nothing like home. Am I right? That's something we can all relate with, whether we're young or whether we're old or middle-aged. It's something we can all relate to. There's no place like home. Family reunions bring us home. Church homecomings bring us home. The warmth and the blessings of going home. Granddaddy used to say, I can't hardly wait to get home. Barisa's granddaddy that led me to the Lord in 1974 says, I want to go home. And one Wednesday night as I was teaching Bible study, he starts walking up in the middle of the lesson, very, very peculiar. And he sits down on the front and he says, Jimmy, I don't feel very well. We rushed to get the nurse. We had a nurse in the family. He leans down. And on the way to Kinston, he ends up going home. He went to that place that he wanted to go. James, it's a very familiar place. When you read the scriptures, you understand when Jesus told his disciples, let not your hearts be troubled. You understand these things. And the older that you get, the more you long for home. Am I right or am I wrong? The more we long for home. And there's no place like it. When we get to thinking about walking on the streets of purest gold or the walls of jasper or the gates of pearl, doesn't that intrigue you and just put a more of a desire in your heart that you don't hunger just for the things of this world, you hunger for the things of the next world? And there's nothing to be afraid of. There is nothing to be afraid of. When Paul wrote to the Corinthians and said, death, where is your victory? O grave, where is your sting? Death, where is your victory? I know two people that has died, left this world, and gone to heaven. They didn't know one another that I know of, but both of them told me their story that when they passed, they wanted to go home, and they did. They went through this bright light. They went up through the bright light, and when they got through the light, their feet were in the luscious green grass that they had ever seen, and they saw heaven, and they started walking and running towards heaven, and around heaven there was a river, and Jesus was in the middle of the river and says, wait, you can't come in now. It's not your time. They said, Master, we want to come in now. He says, it's not your time. You have to go back. So they went back through the light, and they revived. Now, doctors will tell you that it's endorphins that caused this, and it just made the brain conjure up things like this. These were two very different men at two completely different places that described the very same things. Now, what do you think I think is going to happen when I take my last breath? I think I have something to look forward to. I am longing for home. Brother Brownie, we have more to look forward to now than we've ever had to go home. Do you understand? We have these things to look forward to, and we're promised these things, but we're not there yet. There's things that we must do. We're not there yet. This world is not our home. Okay, I'm going to try. I'm going to butcher it and I'm going to mimic it, but you all put up with me. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me to heaven's open door, but I can't feel at home in this world anymore. To get from the point that you don't want to die to be afraid of death, to walk in this world and we're not thinking about the end part of our life. We've started, our life has just started. We found a girl that we love or a guy that we love, and our life is just starting. We don't think about the eternal things. But as you go older and you realize and you're reading the scriptures and you've dove into them, you've broken them apart, you realize all the golden nuggets are in there, and those golden nuggets are just for you and for me to give us hope, to give us promise that we don't have to fear that there is a better place waiting for us. That's a homecoming that'll be greater than anything. And if we can do it together, I think that would be the best. You can't read my tie, but it says, in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, when the church goes up together, I don't think of anything any greater than that, than not to have to experience death and Jesus changes his church and raptures his church into glory. I don't think anything could be any greater. Boom, right now, let's all go together. That's a promise. And that's home. And we're longing for home. It's no wonder sometimes we long for home. We're not home. We're down here, but we're not home. Paul calls us to look homeward. Heaven is our home. Our conversation, it means citizenship, is in heaven. Polytuma. To say it correctly, it says poleuma. Poleuma. It means citizenship. It means a community. It's a Greek word for conversation. And beloved, our citizenship is down here because we were born in this world. We are citizens of the world. But beloved, when we are born again, we are citizens of heaven and glory. We are not citizens of earth trying to get to heaven. Now pay attention to me. Don't give up on me. Don't get mad at me. We are not citizens of earth trying to get to heaven. We are citizens of heaven making it through the earth. Okay, for those of us that are a little bit more dense than others, we're not citizens here trying to get up there. Although that seems like it makes more sense. But when you're thinking of the spiritual and the heavenly, you're citizens of there just getting through here. Because up there won't be any fear. Up there won't be any death. Up there won't be any separation. Up there won't be any sorrow. Up there won't be any threats. Up there we're going to be where there's not need for electricity. And heaven forbid, Brother James, we won't be wearing no ties, I don't think, up in heaven. They're not going to make it. What did this mean to the Philippians? Our conversation, our citizenship is in heaven. Philippi was a Roman colony. Roman citizenship was granted to those Philippians if they were born there. The Philippians could say, I'm a citizen of Rome. Believers could say that I'm a citizen of Rome, but I'm also a citizen of heaven. People in Moorhead City First Free Will Baptist Church can say, I'm a citizen of Moorhead City First Free Will Baptist Church, but I'm a citizen of heaven. If you've been born again. We represent heaven while we're here on this earth. And Paul wrote to the Corinthians and says, be good ambassadors for your king in chapter 5, verse 20. Others will judge our king by how we live. You're ambassadors, you're representatives, you're Christians. How does the world see you as a Christian? When we're born the first time, we become citizens of America, but when we're born again, we become citizens of heaven. Amen? And our king is in heaven. Look at that, verse 20. From whence also we look for the Savior. Brother Al, our Savior's up there. Mark, our Savior's up there. The one thing I want, beloved, the one thing that I pray with all of my heart, James, I want to see him. Now, I do want to see my grandparents, but I want to see Jesus. I want to see him, and I want to see him about right here where that organ's at, and I'm going to crawl the rest of the way to him, and I'm going to be crying when I kiss his feet, when I touch those nail-scarred feet and those hands when they raise me up and I look into those beautiful eyes. I can picture him wiping the tears away. I am longing for that moment. And it's going to happen. The Bible says it's going to... The Bible does give us certain signs that says it's going to be sooner than later. I'm very convinced it's not going to be another 2,000 years. I'm very convinced. And I had some things that I wanted to say about the things going on in the world today. If you think they're just happening for no good reason, look behind and look at the spiritual implications of things. You'll see that wickedness is on the rise. That's told about in Psalm 78. It's told about in 1 Timothy chapter 1. It's told about. Look at those things and read them. Read between the lines. And then you'll see how close we are of going home. Let me ask you a question. Are you scared to go home? Is there something at home that you're afraid to go back to home? Is there something hindering you from being able to go home? Is there something do you think the door of heaven is locked for you? We're getting ready to have a revival down east, a tent revival, called the Down East Awakening. That Down East Awakening is for anybody that wants to come. If you know a drug addict that's got issues with drugs, if you know a drunk that's got issues with the wine or the liquor, if you know of anybody that's a sinner, they're invited to go to that Down East Awakening because we want them to know that the doors to heaven are open if they'll just go through it. And you can't go through that open door without it being Jesus Christ. It has to be Him. And through that door, through that promise of our Lord and our Savior, where our King is at, from whence also we look for the Savior, is through Him and by Him, and He's the only reason that we have a hope for home. The Lord Jesus Christ is our King. We know and understand from John that He came down from heaven. He promised to prepare places for us, as I said in John chapter 14. We know from Acts chapter 1 that He ascended into heaven, and we heard what the angels told the followers there. Why are you gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus that left you in the clouds to go to heaven is coming back in the same manner that you saw Him go up. Our King is there. We have great investments in heaven. On September 2nd, 2011, my mother-in-law went to heaven. Yeah. On August 16th, 2013, my mom went to heaven. On May 27th, last year, my dad went to heaven. And there's been a whole host of other people that I know and that I love that went to heaven. Yes, I want to go. I'm longing to go. Our inheritance is there. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. That's what Peter wrote. Our King, He's coming back to take us to heaven. As I said about my tie, we should be looking for His coming. Looking for His coming, beloved, challenges His believers, challenges His followers. Looking for His coming and understanding that it is imminent and that it could be at any moment. Should prepare us to go out into the highways, into the hedges, and compel them to come in. Looking for His coming adds hope to life. And I like what Titus calls it, a blessed hope. Christ will come. And He'll raise the Christian dead first. Then we who are alive will be caught up with Him to meet Him in the air. Christ will come and we'll all be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And in our scripture text, who shall change our vile, our lowly body. Do we understand? The moment and the twinkling of an eye, 1/15,000th of a second. Before your clothes hit the pew, you'll be gone. Wow. That's exciting. Our bodies will be like His body. Do we think that this is too much for people to understand? This is why Christ said, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, it can remove a mountain. You can't do it on your own. I can't do it on my own, but Christ can do all things. And through Him, we can do all things. Amen. It's not too much for him. It's well within his power. The resurrection of his body proves his power. He is in control of all things. Say that with me. He is in control of... You sure about all things or just some things? He's in control of all things. Nothing happens outside of his parameters. Nothing happens outside of his purview. Nothing happens outside of God's understanding of everything. Even the bad things. This seems to be happening day in and day out. Do we not understand that certain things have to come to pass? And Luke says, when you see these things, Jesus says, when you see these things, look up. Your redemption draweth nigh. He's in control. The question that I have is, are you ready for home? If I can have your attention just for a few more moments in conclusion. When I ask the question, are you ready for home? Christians understand perfectly well what that means. But you might be struggling with the question, are you ready for home? Am I ready for home? You can't be ready outside of Jesus Christ. He's the only way. He even says, I'm the way, the truth, and life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Are you ready? Do you know Jesus? He told Nicodemus you had to be born again. That message has been told for 2,000 years. You must be born again. You have to know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. It's a message that's very faint nowadays, but it still has the meaning and the impact it always has. You have to love Him with all your heart, mind, body, and soul, and you have to love your neighbor as yourself. Beloved, have you done that? Good citizens of heaven impact earth citizens for Christ. We have a world to reach. Isn't that what Jesus says? Go out into the world. Teach them. Baptize them. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Teach. Reach the world. Go to the uttermost parts of the earth. And I do believe with all of my heart that when that scripture was written by Matthew some 2,000 years ago, he could never have thought about Morehead City or Davis, North Carolina when he said that, because that's uttermost. From here to Jerusalem, that's uttermost. So you can go home and around the lunch table, not over here, but around the lunch table, said, the preacher said we were the uttermost. The preacher said we were the uttermost, and we are. It's a long ways from there to here. But I'll tell you what, that gospel has been spread all around the world. And thank God that somehow we were able to receive it ourselves. We have the only message that saves. It won't be an organization. It won't be a person other than Jesus Christ. But when you put all your eggs in His basket, you have a promise that there's a better life waiting for you. And when you put your eggs in that basket down here, life is better. You can have peace. You can know the Prince of Peace. You can have joy and happiness. Even in the midst, there can be a light in your world. When Jesus is shining on it in the midst of the darkest dark. Some of us have gone through a lot of darkness lately. But Jesus makes all the difference in the world. Looking for our Lord's return adds urgency to the task. Beloved, if Christ was to stand up here and say, I'm coming back tomorrow. Tomorrow at 12 o'clock, I'm coming back. Not one of us would sit right here another minute longer. We would run out and tell our family and friends, Jesus is coming back tomorrow. We would be that urgent. I don't know when He's coming back. I just know He is. And my trust is in Him. When the Father tells Him, He'll leave and He'll come and bring us home. And I'm ready. How about you? As I pray, will you please pray with me? Father, thank You so much for the privilege that is mine.